League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening. You are listening to Love Sport Radio. Me, Matt Beadle, with you through to 11 p.m. this evening. So we've got about 27 minutes left. It has been our Friday fan show special. Yes, it has indeed. And next up, we are going to be speaking all things La Liga. And more importantly, all things Barcelona. Yes, it is time for the El Clasico fan show. And first up, it is the boys from Catalonia, Barcelona, who won, of course, 4-1 last week against Celta Vigo, bouncing back from those two games without a win, of course, losing in quite dramatic fashion against Levante a couple of weeks ago, and then that bizarre 0-0 draw with Slavia Prague. But bouncing back against Celta Vigo, a Lionel Messi hat-trick. Yes, another Lionel Messi hat-trick and another goal from Sergi Busquets as well. And Messi, of course, has been in the goals for Argentina, scoring in his first appearance for Argentina in 3 months against the old enemy Brazil today. 13 minutes on the clock, not unlucky for Lionel Messi. He scored for Argentina today to beat Brazil 1-0. Of course, the team that he did say the Copa America was fixed for in the summer when they beat Argentina in that semi-final of the Copa America. But he's back, flying just as he has been for Barcelona. And on the line now, someone who's always flying with us is Dan Hilton of the Barcelona podcast. Dan, it's international break. There's not a whole load going on, I suppose. We've just mentioned the Lionel Messi goal there against Brazil. Not a whole load to report. We'll touch on some of the Barcelona players. But hey, you got a new kit.
Yeah, it is a kit that certainly is something, isn't it? I wrote about it on BarcelBlog.com, the website related to the Barcelona podcast. And we wrote about how it is. Oh, hello, by the way. And we did write about this week about how it's an odd time to come out with it just because of what's happening politically in Catalonia. But in truth, what it's about is Barcelona almost reaffirming their relationship with the region. And it is a shirt that is based on a lot of history. And what I wrote about in that piece was about how the three different myths or legends, great legends about how what those four bars came for, that it looks like it's supposed to be four fingers of blood across a golden shield, and where that all comes from. So it is something that Barcelona is trying to say. It's based on their history and their connection to the region historically more than anything else.
Yep, love the meaning, love everything about it. I do agree with you in the sense that it's probably slightly ill-timed. That's one thing I'm not so sure about. The second thing I'm not so sure about is the fourth kit. What club needs four kits, for crying out loud?
Oh, yeah, I completely agree with that. I think people, for as much as it seems like Kool-Aid and even the players, nobody seems to be completely sold on the home kits. So my opinion would be, instead of doing four kits, why don't you just do two that everybody really loves?
Matt, I completely agree with you. My issues with kits have gone on for many years now because, you know, back here we used to have the same routine. It may well have been the same in Spain. I'm not entirely sure. It may even be the same in US, in MLS, I'm not so sure. But back here, prior to, I guess, probably the mid to late noughties, it was very much the case of when kits came into being. Of course, many years ago, you'd have kits for a long time. But from around the mid-80s onwards, it was very much a case of you had a kit, and then that kit lasted for two seasons. There might have been one introduced at the end, like a third one introduced at the end, halfway through that, but then that would last for another two seasons, and then it would kind of be intermittent between that. But you always had a kit, you had a home and away kit, and a third kit for two seasons, and that was that. And those kits, what they did was they represented an era. They represented a certain number of players who played for the clubs in that time. But now we get a kit. There's all this furore about what it means to the club and all the history, like this one in particular. In about 6 months' time, they're going to be promoting the new one, and this one will be chucked at the back of the cupboard.
Well, yeah, I think that it's a matter of selling shirts now, and that's really what it comes down to. And, I mean, I think the bar is even lower than that. I honestly think back to when Cardiff City, when obviously they came under new management and they made their home kits red.
Yeah.
And they're nicknamed the Bluebirds. And obviously I know people in the UK, particularly people in Cardiff, were not too happy about the fact that, you know, the color that had forever been emblematic of Cardiff City football was now a different base color just so it could sell more jerseys in Malaysia. Just based on some market research about red selling better in Asia. So I always think of that being the bar. So it's just all you have to do with a kit now is not upset too many of your fans, and that's all you need to do. But, you know, I think as long as Barcelona are playing good football and as long as the team's playing good football and everybody's enjoying watching it, I don't think anybody would care if they wore trash bags. But unfortunately for Barcelona, we're talking about the kits and jerseys because not everybody's enjoying the product on the field.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I completely forgot about that Cardiff incident. Yes, shambles that was. Cardiff wearing red was just completely ridiculous. Thankfully, fan power overturned that decision. But let's bring it back to Barcelona, and it is international break. And often you actually, even though there's not a whole lot to talk about your club and what's happening on the field for Barcelona, you tend to get a few news nuggets, because whether players don't realise that they shouldn't say things when they're on international duty, whether they think they're speaking to a media that news isn't going to get back to where they're from, you never know. We've got one incident with the other half of El Clasico, of course, Gareth Bale. He's said some quite odd things. But Antoine Griezmann, I thought, was quite interesting. And the quotes that he made about the fact that he's had to adapt to a new style of play. And he was quite open. And, you know, he does play in a different position for France. And he said, "It's certain that playing in the axis is better for me. I have my bearings. I've been managing this position for years and years. I have a new club. I have to adapt. I am still learning. I knew on arrival that it was going to be hard. I knew that very well."
Well, in Griezmann's defense, I don't know what the solution is, though, because when he speaks about him playing for France, he's playing off the shoulder of Giroud in the same way that when he was at his best, he's playing off the shoulder of Diego Costa. And he could be playing off the shoulder of Luis Suarez, but I don't know how that works on the field, because that's the space that Lionel Messi is generally going to be occupying. And that becomes an issue that, you know, Barcelona does seem to have too many players in a redundant part of the field, yet they're all top-class world-caliber players. So, I mean, why would you not? Obviously, Messi's always going to be in any team in the world if he's willing to suit up in your uniform. And then you have Griezmann, if he's willing and he came to Barcelona to be the superstar that he is, a top 10 player in the world, then you certainly have to just keep working with it. And it's the thing that I keep saying. And now we're talking about November. We're getting to the point in the year when you start to wonder, how long is it going to take for this to start to click? But I think in the case of Griezmann, I'm still going to continue to be patient with this. He really does have to. And I think the more telling quote from Griezmann in the last 2 weeks, I believe it came about a week and a half ago after the last La Liga match, he said that he has to almost get the Diego Simeone mythos and ethos, rather, out of his system, where there's so much entrenched into the way he plays club football that he's in the spots that Diego Simeone would want him to be in. And so he has to almost relearn how to play with Barca. And in another defense of Griezmann, and these are Messi points that he didn't say Griezmann by name, but he read between the lines that Messi does always try to remind us in the media that it takes a long time and learning the Barcelona system and getting up to speed with these players in training is some of the hardest things, which makes it even more incredible. I just want to point out, it makes it even more incredible a 17-year-old like Ansu Fati, who's able to train with the first team and impress with the first team as well. It just is another testament to when these young guys break through, how difficult and how unlikely it is for a teenager to be able to play in training with that caliber of player and to understand it and to catch up. And one of the only ways to do that is to have basically been created in La Masia.
Yeah, mate, completely agree with you, and a fascinating insight there. And that game that Griezmann did play in for France against Moldova didn't start too well for Les Bleus. Of course, Clément Longley making a bit of an error to allow Moldova to go ahead.
Yeah.
Someone who might be a future star for Barcelona alongside Longley is Jean-Claire Todibo. Now, we've spoken about him quite a bit. Some news breaking out from Mundo Deportivo this week that Bayer Leverkusen are potentially interested in signing him on loan. And elsewhere, Samuel Umtiti is apparently on PSG's radar. That's from CalcioMercato.com. So there's all kinds of rumours going around here. I think with Todibo it would be a loan deal, but Umtiti potentially a permanent deal.
Well, I don't want to push back on any of those rumours or whether or not they have credence, but I would say whenever you see any international break transfer rumour, that comes out and related to the names PSG, Barcelona, Man City, Liverpool, Man United, Chelsea. I might be missing some, but I we just need to take up those papers. And I know usually you see it on the internet, so I just mean the physical papers, as they don't print them anymore. You put them in a little ball, you put them in a cannon, and you shoot it off into the sun, because I think that's where you get a lot of, I think that's where you need to put a lot of credence, or a lack of credence, rather, in a lot of this. I mean, that's why. Why didn't that kind of transfer rumor come out a week ago? Or just that it came out within the first day or two of international break when there are no games going on? So I don't think, when it comes to Samuel Umtiti, if he's to be moved on, it might be in the summer. But when it comes to the depth of Barcelona center backs, I think Todibo certainly does need game time. That's the one where you do circle back and you say, between him and Alenya, and then, I mean, I don't think we'll have time to touch on Puig, as Puig, I thought, was really good against Cartagena in that friendly on Wednesday this midweek. That was the actual Barcelona action that did happen. PK featuring in that one, as well as Neto and goal, and Sergio Roberto, the first teamers you need to know about, as well as Ousmane Dembele at top. But anyway, Puig was very good in that game. So when we're talking about his future as well, Alenya, Todibo, guys in their early 20s and late teens, they need game time. And so for Umtiti, it really is just a battle against injury. And I don't think, if Umtiti is healthy, I think it is fair for him to be splitting time with Langley. And Umtiti, as I've always said, if he's healthy, his ceiling is, I think, capable of overtaking Langley. But we're at a point that in his mid-20s, I don't know if he'll ever be that healthy again. I don't know if his knees, and that's the way how knees work. I mean, his knees are already of that of a 33, 34-year-old, that'd be putting it lightly. And so is he ever, even at his present age, going to be able to get back to his very best as he was in his first season? Because that player starts at Barcelona and starts at any team around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a result of what you've just said there, Dan, I'm going to completely brush past the rumour connecting Ivan Rakitic to Atletico Madrid. We won't touch on that one.
Sure.
but we will touch on Gerard Piqué, who you mentioned just there, is on his way back to full fitness. And he's had some interesting things to say as well. Of course, the question is going to be put to him as to whether Barcelona are playing well enough this season. And again, like we know with Gerard Piqué, he's always very honest, always very candid. And he said, you know, can we play better? Yes, of course we can. But he also said Barca is the least results team in the world. I think that was quite interesting. Here it is not only worth winning, we have to win playing well. He was saying we're not playing to the level expected. But what's also interesting is that he said, we've talked about this. We've talked about it in the locker room. The players are all on the same page. It's not the first time that something like this has happened at Barcelona. We'll keep calm. We won't get nervous. And we're still top in La Liga and we're still top in the Champions League. So it's all good.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring up those comments from PK, because in the last week and a half, I think we spoke about it on last week's show as well, but his comments about sleeping 4 to 5 hours are the ones that have a little more, we'll say they stand a little longer in the news cycle than these about PK, I mean, about this. And what you keep seeing in the fan base and along Kool-Aid's online and apparently in the stadium as well, there certainly is this feeling that in other locker rooms there might be a fraction, but when you're talking about PK and Jordi Alba, Busquets, Messi, those are personalities that are always kind and are well-liked by their teammates and are idols and guys that younger players can look up to. So there really is no, it seems like there's not a personality fraction that you might get in other locker rooms, but there just seems to be an entitlement to that established group. And that all the onus and responsibility of winning titles and moving this team forward is on them. Because if you're going to keep trotting out PK, and I mentioned that Luis Suarez in that group as well, if you're going to keep putting Luis Suarez out 90 minutes, 90 minutes, 90 minutes, and then eventually he gets hurt once or twice, well, the onus is always going to be on Suarez on the field to be, regardless of whether or not he's rotated, to be winning titles and things like that. So I think the issue comes with, and the fear I have is that should PK and Luis Suarez be the starters? Sure, they have. But Ernesto Valverde, I thought he had learned his lesson from year one to year two. It felt like that. And then year two to year three, we saw De Jong and Artur and Alenya get that first start in that first game. You thought, it's not about putting Busquets on the bench. It's just about, oh, are we going to get proper rotation this year? And now you look at it again, and it seems like that's not the case either, where there's not a minute to go by for anybody who isn't in for the third straight year. Let me say it a little better. But for the third straight year, now we're using the term Gala 11 again. And I hate using that term in football. Mm-hmm. I think, sure, you have your best 11 you rely on, but as my co-host on the Barcelona podcast, Frances, always says, you know, titles are won by 14 to 17 players. That's who wins titles, not just the 11 on that field for that game.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Luis Suarez there. Another transfer rumour, which is complete guffery, suggests that he might be on his way to Boca Juniors in January.
Yeah,
Dan, we'll go on.
Yeah, I would just say for those, again, another one of those little hogwash. Suarez is going to certainly end the season in Barcelona. It for the transfer market, and you did mention Rakitic, and you went by him going to Atletico Madrid, but all indications, and if a transfer rumor keeps coming up over and over and over again, like Ivan Rakitic to Italy, which has been the case for about a year and a half now, that's one that you do put stock in. We're not sure if it is Inter Milan exactly. I mean, Juventus is sniffing around, but doesn't seem likely. But Inter Milan is the one that just keeps popping up over and over again from different outlets and different sources. And it seems like, not only does it seem like, but even Rakitic, he should have been gone out the summer. And the unfortunate thing about the board and how the transfer business was handled, if they really did push for Neymar in the way that they did, and PK had said the players were willing to take a pay cut and all those things, if all that time was taken and they wound up not getting Neymar, but they also didn't, they messed up the balance of the team by creating a, and even Rakitic, I think he's not a Barca legend, but he's right underneath, whatever that is. It just one of the best that has ever played in a Barcelona uniform, but just on the cusp, as I said, of being a Barca legend. But when it comes to a guy like even Rakitic, he's a guy that you're not going to want to, you're not going to want to have him be unhappy where he's going to upset a locker room, but he's also not going to do that. No. You're going to trust that he's going to be somebody who's going to do his due diligence and be a professional. But in the same regard, he needs to be moved on just in case of funds and what have you. But just for team balance as well, to have a player that talented be sitting on the bench, it messes up the balance of the team.
It does indeed. Dan, we'll speak to you next week ahead of that clash with Leganes. Thank you very much for joining us. This is the Barcelona podcast, the El Clasico fan show, I should say, on Love Sport. We'll see you in a minute.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
Good evening. This is Love Sport, and you are listening to the El Clasico fan show. Indeed, you are. We've just spoken to Dan Hilton of the Barcelona podcast, and now we are going to move on to Real Madrid. Of course, we've got the news this week that the El Clasico will be taking place at 8 p.m. And Christopher McCormack is on the line to join us now. Hello, Christopher.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Not too bad at all.
Good stuff. Well, we've got plenty coming up inside. We've got about five minutes with you, I should say, just quickly. Firstly, I want to touch on these comments with Gareth Bale, because we speak about Gareth Bale quite a lot on this show, as you'd imagine. And you'd have to say he's not helped himself here. Yes, he's probably been prompted to answer these questions. But basically, in a nutshell, he said, I have more excitement playing for Wales. I mean, if you're trying to alienate yourself from Madridistas, that is exactly what you need to be saying.
Yeah, I suppose it's kind of, I think it's just shows where the relationship has gone. You know, it's been a rough road for the last 2-3 years for Bale. And as much as he's not helped himself with those comments, I can sympathise where he's coming from, because I can see why he'd be frustrated with the club, and I can see, you know, why he might enjoy playing for Wales more than Madrid at the moment. You know, if he's not injured, he's coming onto the pitch and he's not really got the fans or the manager on his side. So he's in a very tough situation at the moment.
You kind of feel like he's really starting to push back a little bit with the Spanish media, isn't he? I mean, some of the stuff he said about golf, you know, they gave me a triple bogey. I've never hit one of them. Should have given me an albatross. Instead, I've pretty much done everything I can. He's kind of got to the place now where he's saying, if you don't like it, you can lump it. I don't really care.
Yeah, definitely. And it's certainly a change in attitude than even 12 months ago, where he didn't really say much at all. You know, it was very much his agent that did the talking for him. So, yeah, he's pushing back.
And Danny Carvajal as well, I think, is quite interesting in what he said, because he's basically just come with the fact that it's important that Bale gives his best when he's with Madrid, and that's pretty much all that counts.
And I think, you know, in the games that he's played, he's been one of our star performers. I mean, he opened the season very well. He hasn't played much due to injury since those opening games, but so far in the games he's played, he's definitely given his best.
Can we just quickly touch on El Clasico? Of course, that game was rescheduled for December the 18th. An 8 p.m. kickoff has been confirmed for that. But there's a bigger story here, isn't there? Because there was a lot of chat before the game that certain teams were going to have more rest than the others. That week, Madrid play Valencia. That's away from home on December the 15th. So to be playing Valencia and Barcelona in the space of just 3 days away from home, it's pretty tough considering that Barcelona are going to have 29 more hours rest than Madrid leading up to that game.
Yeah, I read a stat recently that the team with the most rest rarely wins El Clasico.
So, oh, well, there you go. And,
if you want to win the league, you have to like manage these kind of fixture clashes. And, you know, as much as Barcelona probably have an easier schedule, I believe they play Inter Milan or Dortmund in their Champions League group on the same week they play us. So they'll be coming off a difficult stretch of fixtures, despite the fact they have the extra couple of hours rest. But I don't think it's going to have a huge impact. I think it'll be whoever performs the best over 90 minutes on the day who'll take the points.
Yeah, and of course it is international weekend. Rafael Varane, we know, scored for France. Elsewhere, James Rodriguez has suffered a knee injury with Colombia. Now, there was a bit of controversy in the fact that he'd gone away to train with Colombia, having not been in Zinedine's recent plans, but he looks like he's going to be out for a bit of time. Do you think that this might actually, considering the start that he had, and we thought, do you know what, maybe this is a new lease of life for James at the Bernabeu, that maybe this is the beginning of the actual end for him now?
I guess the injury is not going to help. Madrid have gone from a thin midfield to a slightly cluttered one with Fede Valverde's arrival on the scene. And, you know, then you have Modric, Kroos, you have Casemiro, obviously, he's having one of his best seasons at Madrid. So, yeah, it's a massive setback for him. And I honestly still don't think Zidane particularly likes him and would be happy to offload him. Probably not in the winter, but definitely in the summer. So yeah, it's a huge setback for him.
Yeah, indeed. And of course, Real Sociedad are up next. We're going to speak to you guys before that, but the international break, quite happy with that one, I suppose. Christopher, it's great having you on today. No doubt we will speak to you again in the not too distant future.
Perfect, thank you.
That was Christopher McCormack of Managing Madrid. Madrid with that 4-0 victory over Eibar in their previous outing, of course. And now have gone, since that defeat to Mallorca, they've gone 5 games unbeaten. They do host Real Sociedad after the international break. And then that crucial Champions League clash with Paris Saint-Germain. Of course, they lost to Paris Saint-Germain 3-0 in that opening Champions League counter. But very, very interesting at the top of La Liga at the moment. Barcelona leading the chase as things stand. And El Clasico, as we know, rescheduled for 18th of December at 8 p.m. No doubt we'll be talking about all of that and much more in the coming weeks.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.